All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Let's talk some Penn State football. Ben Jones from statecollege.com. Ben, what's going on with you today, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Corey. Thanks for having me.
All right, we had media day on Saturday. We got to be face-to-face with a bunch of Penn State football players, which is something we did not get to do all last year because of COVID. Ben, just did it feel more normal? Did it feel like a return to normalcy from a standpoint of covering Penn State football Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely felt more normal. It definitely felt like getting back to, you know, all the things that we're used to, the in-person conversations, the making eye contact and everything. I mean, I do think a little bit with everything that's sort of going around in certain parts of the country, there's a certain amount of how, you know, excited do you want to get?
Yes.
Is there a certain tentative nature to all of this? But I do think that it certainly felt normal. It felt nice. And I certainly hope that it continues in that direction.
Well, see, I was going to get to that a little bit later on, but let's go ahead and broach that. It's August 9th, less than a month until Penn State plays. We think there can be 107,000 fans in Beaver Stadium. But with the Delta variant, with rising cases around the country, James Franklin, you know, gave a pretty impassioned answer on Saturday when asked about COVID. He said it's not a political statement, and it's not. For them, it's a business statement. It just is. It's a business statement to have people go out and get vaccinated so that they can have an advantage financially and competitively by getting 107,000 people in your football stadium. But, Ben, I sit here on August 9th, and I try to stay up to speed on, you know, what's going on with the virus. And right now, I would put less than 50-50 odds on Beaver Stadium being able to have 107,000 fans for every game. Where do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. You know, I think we did this a year ago when we tried to guess exactly what was going to happen. And I think I learned then that I just don't know. But, I mean, I think there's a good chance it's going to happen. I think it's a better question of will it happen all year. You know, I think that it's difficult to parse through the sort of concern that comes from the Delta variant compared to the numbers that are actually related to it and the sort of balancing of the, you know, the worries that everyone has with the reality of where it is and where it isn't and how much it has or has not spread. But
yeah,
I think there's no doubt that we've learned, you know, over the last year that this sort of thing is very fragile and normalcy is fragile and you have to take it seriously and you have to do what you can. And I think that's why, you know, James Franklin has that very, like you said, impassioned sort of plea for people to go take care of their business, because at the end of the day, you know, whatever, you know, it's a different sort of conversation, but at the end of the day, the vaccine does what it does. It helps you, it helps us, it helps everybody else. And the more people that are vaccinated, the better chances we have of being able to get back to normal and stay normal. So I think they're going to start out that way. Does it finish that way? I guess time will tell, but it feels less sure than it did maybe a month ago.
James Franklin brought this up on his own. It was concerning on Saturday about his daughter being in the hospital. His daughter, Addison, has sickle cell disease, which, if you followed this at all, we've talked about and written about how it can be an underlying condition. If you get COVID and you have sickle cell, that can be pretty bad. So James Franklin and his family did everything they could. I hope everything is okay with his daughter. One of our colleagues, Mark Brennan, apparently asked James afterward, and James said it was just for precautionary reasons. But I have kids. I'm vaccinated. I'm assuming you are, Ben, although that you can say if you are or not. My wife is. We have kids, you know, and the possibility of still getting it, even though you're vaccinated, is there. And quite frankly, my biggest concern now is that the Delta variant and potentially other variants that will come up later could have more adverse effects on children. So, you know, long story short, I'm the biggest Journey fan you'll ever meet. Journey's in concert in Harrisburg at Hollywood Casino August 22nd. We were going. I had planned to do it. But you know what? I had to back away and say, you know, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go be around 8,000 to 10,000 people in Eastern PA. Look, we're fine in Blair County. You guys, I'm hoping you're good in Center County. You get it on to Eastern PA, you just don't. And so my point, I guess, with all this is I was ready to get back to a normal life, Ben. I think people are ready to get back to a normal life and have 100,000 people in Beaver Stadium. But as things keep popping up here and there, it just leads you to try to be more cautious in everything you do once again.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, for every percent of normalcy that we get back, that there's that lingering sense that, you know, we could lose that again. And you know, I have pretty passionate opinions about the vaccination. I myself am vaccinated. You know, my brother has got an immune system issue that, you know, everybody knows somebody that has a situation that makes everyone more concerned about them than maybe somebody else. And I think it's just, you know, I understand the idea of being concerned about things you don't understand about medication or medicine or vaccinations and what might happen to you down the road. But to me, it's just, it's a no-brainer. It's frustrating. It is at times infuriating that we have these conversations because, you know, someone has to say this isn't political. Well, it's not political. It's just how science works. But, you know, neither here nor there before I, you know, cause someone to come light your radio station on fire. It is, you know, hopefully it works out for the better and hopefully people make the best decision for them. And hopefully that decision leads to all of us getting back to normal.
And look, we're talking sports. We're talking football. Why are we harping on this? Because it is still a big deal. We've talked on this show that Penn State was at a competitive disadvantage last year, being in an empty stadium when they're used to playing in front of 100,000 people. So if you want us to say, hey, talk sports, talk football, talk Sean Clifford, talk the defensive line, you know, talk Mike, that's fine. We will, plenty of times. But there, you know, these other things are still issues that could impact football. So now, let's talk Sean Clifford. Because I want to get your thoughts on, to be perfectly honest, I mean, I'll get right to the chase. Is Sean Clifford good enough? Is Sean Clifford good enough to do what Penn State fans want him to be able to do?
Well, I mean, I think we know that he can be good enough to win you 10 or 11 games. I mean, I don't think that he was anything overly special in 2019. I think he was efficient. I think he made smart decisions most of the time, and I think he had a lot of guys that can make plays with the ball in their hands. So I think he can be that quarterback. I don't think Sean Clifford's ever going to be the guy that, you know, you go, you know, oh, he reminds me of Trevor Lawrence, or he's going to, you know, take you to the playoffs and win you a bunch of games because he's just an overly impressive talent. I don't think he's going to be that quarterback. I think we more or less know what his ceiling is or what it looks like it's going to be. So I think the question is not so much can he take Penn State to where Penn State fans want to go as much as can he bounce back and be the kind of quarterback they need him to be this year, which is one that makes smart decisions, makes some good throws, and minimizes his mistakes, because I think they have enough talent on offense that if he does those things, they're going to win a lot of football games. And I think if you're Penn State, especially coming out of the year they had last year, that's really your perfect season, is getting back to 9 or 10 wins, getting back to feeling like things are headed in the right direction. And if Sean Clifford goes a separate way after that, then you go, okay, who's next? And I think he's the quarterback that can do that. But no, I don't think he's necessarily going to just take this next step and suddenly be something that he hasn't been for the last 2 years.
Even in a new system, Ben, that, again, is Sean Clifford Mason Rudolph? Probably not. The numbers Mason Rudolph put up will blow your mind. Mike Yurcich has worked with Justin Fields and Texas as well. I mean, is there any reason to hold out hope that we're going to see a completely different quarterback because of this system?
I mean, it's possible, but you can make a bad throw in any system. I mean, you can throw it you can throw it to the wrong team just about on any down with any play call. And that doesn't mean – I'm not saying that I think Sean Clifford is dumb or can't be a good quarterback. I think it'll help. I think having practice in person will help. I think being hands-on with Mike Yurcich will help. I think Mike Yurcich being who he is will help. So, you know, I do think Sean will play better. I think the system will have a part to play in that. But I think the biggest question is, you know, can you get things right between the ears? Because I think for whatever his strengths or weaknesses might be as a ball thrower, you know, you just want him to make smart decisions. If he makes the right decision every play and some of those get picked off or some of them are incomplete, you live with that as a coordinator. You live with that as a fan. But I think what you have to minimize are the sort of, you know, he said it yesterday or at media day when we were there, that there were times over the course of his career where he had thrown balls and he didn't necessarily have a real good answer as to why that was. So I think if he can answer the question, why did I throw that, if it goes poorly, that's part of the game. So is he going to put up Mason Rudolph stats? I don't think so. But I think he can put up stats that help Penn State win a lot more games as long as he just makes the right decisions.
Ben Jones from statecollege.com. I love offense. I have the highest hopes maybe as the season goes on that we could see something like what we saw in 2016, because 2016 was phenomenal. I mean, that was phenomenal. It didn't matter where Penn State had the ball. They could score on you. Boom. McSorley, Barkley, Gesicki, Godwin. These were tremendously talented players. Now, we didn't know in 2016 how good all these guys were early on. You know, they became that, but we didn't know at that time. I'm hoping that the offense can do these things and score close to 40 points per game. But, Ben, on the other side of the ball, I have concerns about Penn State's defense. I seem to be in a minority here that people seem to think this defense is going to be better than last year. I don't know why. I don't really understand why that's the case. You're losing Jason Owe. You're losing Shaka Toney. And I don't think you're replacing them with guys that are anywhere near as good as those two guys. Now you lose Adisa Isaac. I don't know what you've got at linebacker. Maybe they're okay. I think Brandon Smith has been a decent linebacker. He's not been a five-star prospect linebacker. I think Jesse Luketta has been disappointing, to be honest with you, in his career. So now they're looking at playing him defensive end. I think the secondary could be phenomenal. So walk me back from the ledge if you think the defense is really going to – if you can guarantee the defense is going to be better than last year.
I mean, I think the walking back from the ledge argument at this point is that Penn State's defense has not ever really been bad under James Franklin or Brent Pry. They haven't been bad yet, so you have to assume they know those buttons to push. But I would agree that the defensive line at best has question marks. I think Jason Owe is a great physical talent. I think production-wise, he's going to be easy enough to replace. I think Shaka Toney is probably going to be harder to replace than he gets credit for. I do think the secondary might be the best that they've had. I think the challenge there is you don't really want your safeties making tackles unless they're in the backfield or in that second level, because that means you're giving up all those chunk plays they're trying not to give up.
Right, and you play in the Big Ten. It's not like you're in the Big 12 where you need your secondary to be your best unit because everybody's tossing the ball. I mean, you got to stop the run in the Big Ten. If you can't stop the run, people are just going to keep running on you.
Yeah, so there's obviously questions at linebacker. There's obviously questions at the defensive line. I guess I would just say that they've always been pretty good at those things, which are getting sacks, which are stopping the run. I do think Jesse Luketta has to be better. I do think Brandon Smith has to play up more to his billing. I think he's probably better than he gets credit for. I think this would be the year for him. They certainly need him to step up. But, yeah, I mean, it's a far cry from the Micah Parsons era, where you kind of knew exactly who you were leaning on in the front and who you had in that linebacker room. So, you know, I think they'll be better. I think everything will be better than it was last year. I just think that everything about how the year has been constructed lends itself to improvement. But certainly, you know, are they going to be a great defense? Are they going to be a defense that finally sort of turns that corner where people say, man, they get stops every single time they need them? I don't know if that's true. But then again, I suppose if you look at the 2016 team, they played half their games from behind anyway and won a lot of games doing it. So if the offense figures itself out, maybe you don't have to be the 94 defense either.
That's very well said. It's really been, we've all written and talked about it for years. I feel like I've harped on it a ton that Penn State doesn't really fully seem ready to play to start games. You mentioned 2016. They were down a lot in the first half. I remember they were, I think, tied at Purdue before they went off and destroyed Purdue, something like 60-20 or so. We have seen traditionally Penn State football be a different team in the second. Can we put that to rest now? Can we hope that Mike Yurcich is ready to come out and kick some ass in the first half? I've never liked that. And look, folks, James Franklin has had success. I'm not ripping James Franklin or saying he needs to be fired. I'm saying if Penn State wants to get to the next level and beat an Alabama or a Clemson or beat Ohio State consistently, these are the trends that you've got to reverse. It bugs me that Penn State plays ho-hum, lethargic first halves, Ben, and while James and his staff have been phenomenal at halftime adjustments, when are they going to get to the point where they play better in the first half?
Yeah, I would say in fairness, I think they probably, you know, you look at the 2018 Ohio State game, they're
yep,
up.
They were.
Comfortably in that first half. You look at the Michigan game in 2017, they're up comfortably. You look at Michigan and whatever the last time, they're all running together at this point, but you know, the last time they beat Michigan, they gave that lead away in the second half. Iowa, when Iowa came in, it was pretty good. Penn State punched them in the mouth first. I think they figured out a little bit how to punch teams in the mouth. I think it's just hard to beat people start to finish. I mean, these are good teams, and as good as Penn State is, it's not like the rest of the Big Ten is horrible. But, yeah, I mean, ideally in a perfect world, you want to go out there, you want to score 14 points, give up three, and then just keep your foot on your throat. Is that reasonable as just a formula? I think the reality of football doesn't pan out that way, but I do think that we've seen at this point Penn State be a little bit of everything, a second-half team, a first-half team, a team that comes from behind, and a team that can hang on to the lead, which, you know, I guess it just kind of depends on how you look at your glasses, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
All right, let me close with this, because I think this is – a fascinating discussion that is really all-encompassing. Ben Jones from statecollege.com. The over-under that Mike Yurcich is at Penn State, 2.5 years. 2.5 seasons. What's your over-under for the number of seasons that Mike Yurcich is there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think it's probably an over because I think, you know, I think Drew Allar is going to come in next year and look pretty good, and that's going to be interesting to him. I think part of the reason that Joe Moorhead left was because they were so good. How could you not? And I don't think Penn State's going to be quite as good as they were in 2016 or 2017. The hard part, though, is Mike Yurcich is a known commodity. And I think when you have a known commodity, it doesn't really matter how you perform because someone's going to say, I've got better personnel. But I do think that James Franklin understands what he's got. I think Andy Barber understands what they have in Mike Yurcich. And you can only hire so many offensive coordinators. So maybe he wants to go, and maybe they have to pay up. But, I mean, if you want to be the kind of program Penn State wants to be, you're going to have to put your money where your mouth is, and that might be in the pocket of a guy named Mike Yurcich.
Yeah, I mean, it might ultimately have to be $2.3, $2.5 million. But if Houston comes and offers five, or UCF comes and offers five, now we're talking a different story. But to me, what's fascinating is, if you're a Penn State fan, you want Mike Yurcich out of there as quickly as possible. Because what does that mean, Ben? If Mike Yurcich is gone in 2 to 3 years, what will Penn State have accomplished?
Well, I mean, they could have accomplished a lot. But, you know, also you look at Joe Moorhead left and Penn State accomplished a whole lot of almost making the playoffs and winning the Big Ten.
Yeah,
once,
but that's my point. I'm saying if Mike Yurcich is a hot commodity getting $5-6 million in 2 or 3 years, I think he's going to have accomplished a hell of a lot at Penn State. I mean, 40 points a game and getting close to – I mean, I think, you know, you want Mike Yurcich to accomplish a ton and then be a highly coveted commodity.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt at the end of the day, if your offense is good, you want people, you know, to want to hire your offensive coordinator. I just think, you know, you want to hang on to good things for as long as you can. I think I suppose that's obvious. But, yeah, I mean, if nobody wants to hire Mike Yurcich in 2 years, they're probably still bad, and that's not a good sign. There's no doubt about that.
Exactly. All right, Ben Jones from statecollege.com. Ben's got a great read of a story. I hate Media Day, to be perfectly honest with you, because it's 100 people, you know, there's 100 reporters, you're walking around, everybody's trying to find something interesting to write, and it's very difficult. Ben came out of Media Day with something really, really cool. Just tell real quick where they can find your story.
Yeah, I mean, I guess basically the story, which you can find on statecollege.com, is just, you know, you see assistant coaches and coaches walking around a lot with team-issued apparel. And I've always sort of wondered what happens when an assistant coach takes a job somewhere else. What happens to the Ohio State polos or the Texas polos if you're Mike Yurcich? So just kind of talk to all of them. It's a silly sort of thing, but it answered one of those questions I've always had, and the answer is, for the most part, they give them away. Some of them keep them. But, yeah, there are definitely a lot of shirts. It's like the team that lost the Super Bowl having shirts show up in Botswana somewhere. You know, it's an interesting little wrinkle.
Nice. Well, see, why didn't you do that story when Joe Paterno was the head coach?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question.
Because none of those coaches had ever been anywhere. These guys have all – this is like their eighth stop for all of them. All right, that's a great idea. Ben Jones from statecollege.com. Appreciate the time, man.
Yep, thanks for having me, Corey.
All right.